الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani channel, there are many excellences, fada'il of reciting Salat ala Nabi. Peace and blessings, Durood Sharif upon the best of mankind, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that if you recite Salat upon me 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inscribe between that person's eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and he is free from the fire of hell. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep that person. Which person? The one who recites Salat upon the Prophet alayhi salam 100 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him amongst the shuhada, the martyrs on the day of judgment. So subhanallah, look at the fadila, look at the excellence, the virtue of reciting Salat ala nabi. This is something that we should have a habit of reciting. And we should ensure that a single day of our lives does not pass by in which we haven't recited Salat ala nabi. May Allah ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to recite Salat ala nabi in abundance. Ameen. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Inshallah, in today's bayan, we'll hear briefly about the virtues of the ulama. Now, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma was no doubt a great alim of the religion, a great mufti, a muhaddith, a faqih, and the virtues of becoming an alim, being an alim, are so numerous, subhanallah, that when a person hears about them, when a person learns about them, he becomes desirous of becoming an alim himself. And why wouldn't this be the case? If you become an alim, you're following the way of the Prophet alayhi salam, in that they were possessors of sacred knowledge. Inshallah, you too will be a possessor of sacred knowledge. So let us begin with an account that Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma himself has related. This is mentioned in the Malfuzat of Ala Hazrat. He says that what happens at the time of Asr Salah, Shaitan, Iblis, his throne is placed on the sea. And his minions, the small shayateen, they all gather there as well. And you could almost say that they are presenting their daily, in their eyes, achievements. That we have made so-and-so do this, we have made so-and-so do that. They have to give their report, how many people they misguided. Now, one of the shayateen, the minions of Shaitan, says, I made someone drink alcohol. Another one says, I made someone commit adultery. And like this, each one of them is giving his own report, daily report, that I made someone do this, I made someone do that, I was successful in making someone sin in this way or that way. And Shaitan is listening to all of this. And then one of those shayateen, he comes forward and he says that today I prevented and I stopped a student of knowledge from going and seeking Ilmedin, sacred knowledge. I prevented him from learning the knowledge of Islam. And when Shaitan hears this, Shaitan says, Anta, Anta, meaning you are the unique one. You are the the best from all of them. Meaning what you have done, none of the others did. Yes, the others made someone drink alcohol, they made someone commit adultery, this sin and that sin. But you have stopped a student of the religion of Islam from going and studying. Now, the other shayateen, they're a bit upset, jealous as well, that how come this person has been shown so much appreciation? We made people do wrong as well. But what's so important about what he did? Why is his action, evil action, of stopping a talibi ilm, why has this got so much significance in the eyes of shaitan? And shaitan said that, do you know that all of your actions, making someone drink alcohol, making someone fornicate, making someone commit adultery, lying, all of these actions, do you know that all of these took place because of his action? And again, they're confused. What does that mean? Shaitan explains to them that when somebody is prevented from seeking sacred knowledge, what do you learn in sacred knowledge, knowledge of Islam? You learn about the lawful, the unlawful. Yes, you learn about haram, halal. What's right, what's wrong, what's permissible, what's impermissible. Now, when you stop someone from seeking sacred knowledge, then obviously he's going to go and commit so many sins. He won't even think twice, he won't even realize, he won't even feel regret and remorse. So this is why his action of stopping a talibul ilm of seeking sacred knowledge is greater in my eyes than what you have done. This is what shaitan said to all of them. And he said, let me show you a practical example. Let me show an example to prove my point as well. He says to them, take me to a place where you have an abid, a worshipper, who is bereft of knowledge. He doesn't have knowledge of Islam. But he's an abid. People know him as a worshipper. And take me to the same location wherein there is a scholar of Islam who has beautified himself with the knowledge of Islam. So they all go, they find such a place, such a village, and it's the time of tahajjud. And an abid is on his way to the masjid to perform tahajjud prayer. Not fajr prayer yet, tahajjud. And shaitan appears before him and says to him, I want to ask you a question. So what's the question? He said, you know, the whole world, all of this universe, what is your view, what is your belief? Can the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fit all of this into this bottle that I have? And he, because he was an abid, not an alim, ma'adallah, he answered by saying, of course not. What kind of question is this? The whole universe, the whole world into a bottle? No, no chance. Shaitan said, okay, that's fine. And the abid was on his way, thinking I'm going to perform my tahajjud salah. Shaitan then waited for an alim to pass by, an alim to traverse. The alim, he came at a time when Fajr Salah was about to stand. So he's rushing, he's on his way to the masjid. Shaitan stops him and says, oh alim sahab, I want to ask you a question. He said, oh hurry up, I'm going to offer my Salah, Fajr Salah as well. He says, can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fit this entire universe, the whole world into this bottle? And the alim recognized that this is the attack of shaitan. He said, oh accursed one, you talk about a bottle, but if there were thousands of these universes, it's my belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful and he could fit thousands of universes into the eye of a needle. And then the alim sahib is on his way to lead Fajr prayer. Shaitan then turns to his minions, the shayateen, and says, now do you realize? Now do you understand why I appreciated that act of that particular shayateen, that particular minion of mine who stopped a talibi ilm from going and seeking knowledge? Yes, you lot, you made someone drink alcohol and you made someone fornicate. These are wrong acts that you made them commit. But what he did, he made someone stop seeking ilm-e-deen. He prevented them. And as I stated, this is the cause of all sins. When a person doesn't have knowledge of Islam, what does he end up doing? Shaitan gave the fresh example of that abid. He says, look, he's on his way to perform tahajjud, but in an instant he's lost his iman. He's lost his iman because he has disbelieved in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He denied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can fit the world, the universe into a bottle. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And look at the alim answered correctly and said, never mind one dunya, this universe, if there were thousands of universes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could fit them into the eye of a needle. So dear brothers in Islam, viewers of Madani Channel, what do we learn from this account? We learn about the importance of sacred knowledge. And the one who has sacred knowledge, Allah Ta'ala will save him on every occasion. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will help him, will aid him. And as for the one who continues to do ibadah, but he doesn't back that up with knowledge, he will continue to fall into error. He will continue to do wrongdoings. And in another maqam, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma, he speaks about an abid, and he says somebody who worships, he doesn't have knowledge, is like that animal who goes around the mill, he's going around and round and round, tiring himself out, but he doesn't reach anywhere. He's still in the same spot. And he says that's the example of an abid who doesn't have ilm-e-deen in his heart. He hasn't sought Islamic knowledge, that he continues to perform worship, but it doesn't make him reach anywhere. He doesn't ascend in ranks. Why? Because first and foremost, you have to seek knowledge, and then you perform ibadah. And then your ibadah, your worship will be performed correctly as well. So, in this account, we realized the importance of ilm-e-deen. It safeguards your iman. If someone loses his iman, what else has he got? What can he show in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember, the condition to enter Jannah is what? That your iman remains intact. You leave this world in a state, a halat of iman. And on the day of judgment, because of your iman staying intact, because you died upon the testimony of faith, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, because of that, you will enter Jannah, inshallah. And if somebody performs righteous actions throughout his life, but he died upon kufr, disbelief, then all of those actions he did will not benefit him. In the akhirah, he will not be destined for paradise, rather, his abode will be the hellfire. So ilm-e-deen is very, very important. If we want to safeguard our iman, then we have to learn sacred knowledge as well. And what, subhanAllah, can be said about the excellence of seeking knowledge? Let me mention an account which is in Sunan Ibn Majah, one of the famous six books of hadith. Sayyidina Kathir bin Qais, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, I was sitting in a masjid in Damascus. A dars was taking place, and that dars was being led by a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. This is in Damascus, Syria. A person came meanwhile, and he requested in the court of Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. He said, oh Abu Darda, I have traveled from the city of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. I've traveled from the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam all the way to your court. Why? So I can listen to a blessed hadith that you have narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now think about it. Even today, if you were to travel from Madina al-Munawwara all the way to Damascus, even with the advent of the transport we have today, the fast travel that we are able to do, it would still take time. But in those days, when there was no such thing as cars, you didn't have fast modes of transport, travel was covered using rides, mules, animals. So this person has traveled from the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Madinatul Rasul, all the way to Damascus to attend a gathering of the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abu Darda. And what did he say? He said, I've come to listen to hadith. So Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu asked him a question, said to him, apart from this, tell me, did you also come to do tijarat? Did you also come for business purposes, trade? Surely there were some other reasons why you came as well. And he says, no. He humbly said, no. The only reason I came was to seek knowledge of this blessed hadith that I knew you had. Again, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, so there's no other reason why you've come apart from this reason of gaining knowledge of hadith? Matlab, is this the only reason that you've come? You've traveled, you've undertaken this hardship all the way from Madinatul Munawwara to Damascus? And again he answers and he says, yes, this is the only reason why I have undertaken this journey. And that's when Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu saw the eagerness, the desire of that person to learn sacred knowledge, and he related the hadith that he had heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, listen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and subhanallah, this hadith is related to the journey as well. He says, man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman sahala Allahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah. Whoever travels on a path in which he seeks to gain Islamic knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the way to paradise easy for that person. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that person, he's come to learn knowledge as well. So this applies to him. He is worthy of the blessings found in this hadith. And the hadith continues. And the blessed innocent angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they lower their wings, they spread their wings out of happiness for a talibul ilm. Meaning they're pleased with what he is doing. For that student of knowledge, they spread out their wings. You know, people talk about a red carpet and this sort of istiqbal and welcoming. Look at the welcoming that is given by the angels to the students of knowledge, that they spread out their wings for the students of knowledge. The hadith continues, وَإِنَّ طَالِبَ الْعِلْمِ يَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The hadith continues, the excellences continue, and indeed, everyone in the heavens and the earth seeks forgiveness for the student of knowledge, to the extent that even the fish in water seek istighfar for him. They seek forgiveness for him. What more can a person ask for? You study sacred knowledge, people in the heavens and the earth, the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth seek forgiveness for you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, حَتَّى الْحِيْتَانِ فِي الْمَاءِ. Even the fish in the water will seek forgiveness for that student of knowledge. And then the hadith finishes towards the end. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. And the superiority of a scholar of Islam over an abid, a worshipper who doesn't have knowledge, is like the superiority of the moon over all the stars in the sky. The moon, subhanallah, provides light, provides brightness. And at night, people use the moon as well, especially back in the days, in previous times, they would use the help of the moon to navigate themselves at night. And the stars, despite being bright and shining, that won't help you in the dark, will it? So here the Prophet ﷺ said, the superiority of a scholar over an abid is like the superiority of the moon over all of the stars. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. The ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya, the prophets alayhim as-salam. إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُ دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. And what do the prophets leave as inheritance? Do they leave dirham? Do they leave silver coins, gold coins? Do they leave other things? The Prophet alayhi salam said, إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُ دِينَارٌ وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. They do not leave dinar or dirham as inheritance like the rest of people. إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُ الْعِلْمِ. What they leave as inheritance is sacred knowledge, knowledge of Islam, ilm-e deen. And the hadith finishes, the Prophet alayhi salam says, whoever gains a share of that knowledge has gained a big share. Meaning whoever gains a share of the inheritance of the Anbiya, he gains a portion of that knowledge, then he should believe that he has gained a massive share. Now this hadith, which is in Ibn Majah, subhanAllah, shows us, one, that in the previous ages, people would travel far places, just to gain knowledge of one hadith. We also learn about their sacrifices for the deen. We learn about their ikhlas. When the Sahabi, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, asked him, did you come for business purposes as well? And like today, if somebody goes to a particular place, he'll have four or five things in mind. I'll be able to do this there as well, and I'll ensure that I've done this as well. He has a proper schedule. But this person said, I only came to Damascus, all the way from Madinatul Munawwara, to learn knowledge of that hadith that you possess. So look at the ikhlas of the people of the past. Look at the sincerity they had, the sidq they had, the truthfulness. And then the fadail that were mentioned, the numerous fadail, that whoever travels on a path of knowledge, Allah eases the path to paradise for him. The talibul ilm, everything in the heavens and the earth seek forgiveness for him. Even the fish in the sea, forgiveness for him. We're told that the angels spread their wings for the student of knowledge. The superiority of a scholar, someone who has knowledge over a non-scholar, is like the superiority of the moon over all the stars. And in the end, the Prophet ﷺ told us that the Anbiya ﷺ, they are the ones who leave ilm behind. Meaning the ulama are the inheritors of the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because they've gained knowledge. And the Anbiya do not leave dirham, dinar, they leave sacred knowledge behind. Whoever attains this has attained a big portion indeed. So subhanAllah, this should all encourage us that in this short life that we have, we should try and invest time in seeking sacred knowledge. You know, what normally happens is at a young age, we're enrolled into a madrasa and we think that's the only age that we seek sacred knowledge. And we sit in front of the ustad sahab, we learn the Quran, and that's it. But remember, dear brothers in Islam, viewers of Madinah Channel, the ibadat that we carry out, there's a whole criteria behind them. There's so many conditions related to salah, zakat, hajj, fasting. Then there are things that are referred to as munjiyat, that save you from destruction. Patience, sabr, ikhlas, being hopeful of the mercy of Allah. All of these things that the scholars have mentioned, we need to learn about. And then there are things that are referred to as muhlikat, which destroy a person's deeds. Spiritual diseases like jealousy, backbiting, arrogance, and the list goes on. And we need to learn about these things. So that was just a bit about the fadail of the ulama. And in the Quran as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Those who have knowledge and those who don't have knowledge, can they be the same? Are they the same? Of course not. Those who are knowledgeable are superior. So in the Quran as well, in numerous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the fadail of the ulama. Now coming to an end, I would like to discuss briefly the achievements of a great scholar of the last century, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmah. Now he was born the 10th of Shawalul Mukarram, 1272 Hijri, passed away on 25th Safarul Muzaffar, 1340 Hijri, that's corresponding to 28th October 1921. Now this scholar was a phenomenal scholar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a photographic memory. He wrote up to 1,000 books. That's how he served Islam. He subhanAllah left behind works on all topics. Fiqh, hadith, tafsir, aqaid. And the ulama declared him unanimously as a mujaddid of the last century. And what does a mujaddid do? A mujaddid comes and all those bid'at innovations that had crept in, he removes them and once again he presents to people the pristine teachings of Islam. And this is what Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma did. And subhanAllah, he also left us with a beautiful translation of the Quran, which is referred to as Kanzul Iman. Now Kanzul Iman, this was the translation of the Quran that he dictated into the Urdu language. And the ulama say that if he only left us with this one work, it would still be sufficient to declare him a mujaddid. Why? Because Kanzul Iman is that translation of the Quran wherein the most beautiful, appropriate words have been used for the dhat of Allah, for the Prophet ﷺ, for the awliyaullah, and utmost adab has been maintained in the translation of the Quran as well. So we should learn about his life, we should learn about his achievements, we should learn the books that he's left behind, we should try and study them. Books upon Aqeedah, books upon Fiqh. His masterpiece work is known as Fatawa Razaviyah Sharif. Fatawa Razaviyah is indispensable, especially for someone who wants to become a Mufti in Islam. He refers to that time and time again, Alhamdulillah. And it was not the case that he was only applauded in his own region, his own era. When he went to Haramain Sharif, when he went to Makkah Al-Mukarrama, Medina Al-Munawwara, the ulama attested to his knowledge there. And there were so many accounts that time does not permit, but when Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma was in Makkah Al-Mukarrama, and a question was posed that some people equate the knowledge of Allah to the knowledge of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this was an accusation. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma answered in 8 hours. He was severely ill at that time. The ulama mentioned that he was suffering from fever, very bad fever. But in 8 hours, he did not make any excuses. He did not say, I left my books back home, I don't have access to my library. SubhanAllah, from memory, he dictated that book, which is known as Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah. And in that book, SubhanAllah, he proved that the knowledge of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can never equate to the knowledge of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But in saying that, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala granted the most knowledge from all of creation to the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the most knowledgeable of creation. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, was granted knowledge of the unseen as well. Just like in the Quran, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولِ, that he chooses from the messengers whom he wants to give knowledge of the unseen to. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam throughout his life demonstrated and displayed that Allah indeed granted him knowledge of the unseen. So this was just a glimpse of the great Imam, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahma. He wrote numerous other books as well. Bad practices that came about, innovations, and he refuted them using Quran and Hadith. And that's the job of a Mujaddid, Alhamdulillah. And our scholars of Islam, we need to study their biographies, we need to study their lives. Inshallah, that will lead to us implementing their way of life, their teachings in our own lives as well. And remember, anything they did was not different from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when we see Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma respecting the masajid, upholding the sanctity of the masjid, it's because he studied the life of the Prophet Alayhi Salam and found out through Quran and Hadith that that's what must be done. For example, one person came to the masjid and it was his habit, he was an elderly person, he would come and he would throw his stick on the floor. And it's probably done today as well. And Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma respectfully instructed him, or advised him rather, and said the masajid were not created for this purpose. So SubhanAllah, you have people like that who teaches about things that we consider as minor, we consider as something not of importance or insignificant. When you come to the masjid, you should even be mindful of how you place something on the floor. You shouldn't throw something down. This is the house of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Imagine someone comes to your house and you ask him to put his coat in one place, but he throws it in another place without comparison. And he takes off his shoes and he throws them anywhere. You'd be upset. Without comparison, this is the house of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma throughout his life rectified people. This is why we have so much love in our hearts for him. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent him as a mujaddid for the ummah. May Allah Jalla Wa Ala grant us the barakat of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahma and enable us to study his life and implement his teachings in our own lives as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Al-Ameen Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wa Sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon